Hello, you're listening to Gaze Gaze, in which we're gay, and we gaze into media that's by, for, or about ladies who love ladies, and sometimes we talk about other stuff. My name is Erin, and not that we can't also be murderers, I know some perfectly horrible homosexuals.
And my name is Erin, and just how wonderful or horrible would it be if you found out the ghost in your house is a lesbian?
And I'm Hoops, and I'm not just sick sexually, I'm sick in a lot of ways.
Aw, yeah!
Oh, I'm ready to be sick.
Yes. Oh, yeah, give me the sickness! I'm queer for fear!
Halloween is approaching, the devil's night.
Are we getting spooky?
We're getting spooky, and here we are to talk about the docuseries Queer for Fear. And to talk about some recommendations for your horror viewing for this spooky, creepy Halloween season.
Ooh, we're scary.
We're in the fortunate position to have a month of October where we are going to put out 3 episodes in October, which is great since we always do horror movies through the month of October. And I love horror media. Erin, I know it's not your fave.
Oh, no, so scary. That's all right. It's funny, I guess, because, like, being friends with people who like horror has changed my perspective. I always thought about horror as, like, the jump scare type of movies and something very suspenseful, not particularly deep. But also just doing this podcast has opened me up to be like, oh, wait, this movie that I do really like is actually horror. So even if it's not my favorite, there's still a lot to love.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge range of just a genre, right? Of course. And then in this documentary specifically, it's pretty mild, the movies that they're picking out, especially because a lot of them are older.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm also so excited to welcome back Hoops. Thank you for joining us for
I'm here again.
Hopefully our whole Halloween season as a fellow horror lover.
Yes. And it was so hard to help narrow down the movies we could watch. And then, especially after watching this, I was like,
Oh my God, there's
so many more that we need to do just not for the podcast, but I just need to watch with you guys.
Yes. So as a little sneak peek, we're thinking of doing All Cheerleaders Die for our next episode. And then a little short, like, retrospective on Frankenstein movies for our final episode of the month. So yes, yeah, very much looking forward to
this
that.
This documentary, I was like, oh, maybe we should watch like 3 of them.
Yeah.
I have never seen the original Frankenstein. I've never seen Bride of Frankenstein. And now I really want to watch I Was a Teenage Frankenstein as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we should watch those. I'm also rereading Frank and Fran right now, which I'm very excited to talk about. And yeah, just to talk about some sapphic Frankenstein readings. Frankenstein is a sapphic Frankenstein, actually, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, because Mary Shelley.
Yeah, and getting to talk about Frankenstein means that we'll get to re-explore the new Monster High, Frankenstein.
Oh my god,
our favorite Frankenstein, non-binary lesbian queen.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm ready.
I'm very ready for that. Thank you for bringing that up. Isn't that embarrassing? I forgot about
I was just trying to think
That's
of
why there's 3 of us.
Thank you.
3 brains, 2 brain cells.
There's too many lesbians to think about.
Frankenstein us together, and then we'll be so powerful.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Then we'll finally have 3 brain cells.
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready. That'll be happening on, we'll live stream October that on October 31st.
Yep. Oh, perfect.
Day. Yep.
The ultimate Halloween costume.
Yeah, let's talk about this. So, Queer for Fear, 4 episode docuseries that came out last year, 2022, on Shudder, produced by Brian Fuller, Tom Maroney, Sam Weinman, and featuring a lot of very interesting celebrity interviews as well. Leah Delaria, a fave that stands out to me.
A lot of wild cards, but also a lot of, like, great academic people.
Yes. Jack Halberstam jump scared me. I am not going to lie. I was just talking with our friend Samantha about Jack Halberstam moments, literal moments before I started watching this, like maybe 20 minutes before. So the first episode talks a lot about queer horror literature. So you know what? Let's kick it off with Frankenstein. Have either of you read the original Frankenstein?
So I did in high school, and this is the case for a lot of the media that you talk about in this series. I'm like, of course it was gay all along. I just never framed it this way. Mm-hmm. Not Mary Shelley. Like, we knew she was gay. Bisexual, right?
Yes. Mary Shelley, widely known to be bisexual.
Yes. Lost her virginity on her mother's tombstone. I think, like, isn't the other thing is she had her dad's, like, heart on her desk all the time or something? That could be wrong. You might need to add that.
I don't know. Wait, hold on. Now I have to Google it.
She's the OG goth girl, and she invented sci-fi. We know this.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Did Snopes.com, did Mary Shelley keep her late husband's heart?
Her husband. Okay. What does Snopes say?
After Percy Shelley's death. By and large, however, it's accurate to say that Mary Shelley kept the remains of at least one of her husband's internal organs. This wasn't unusual at the time. It was relatively common in Victorian England to take photos with dead relatives that were propped up in poses and to make jewelry containing the hair of the deceased. So I guess it wasn't that weird that she kept his organs. The tale says that in 1822, her husband drowned in a sailing accident, though his body washed up on the beach. And he had also been in a fire, and his friend, like, ripped his hardened, burnt heart out of his body and gave it to Mary Shelley.
Whoa. So that's beyond what I knew.
He died at only the age of 29, by the way.
Wait, when did he... Tragic. What year did he die versus when Frankenstein was published?
He died in 1822, and Frankenstein came out in 1818, so just 4 years later.
Yeah, I believe, like, part of her backstory also is that she had a lot of, like, very tragic deaths in her life, like her mom and her dad. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, that her novel is also about bringing the dead back to life.
I appreciated the framing in Queer for Fear of, like, Mary Shelley perhaps thought that one of the scariest things she could imagine is a man trying to take creating life into his own hands without needing a woman, and, like, the sexism inherent in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so much of, like, Frankenstein mythos is, like, Dr. Frankenstein can't give the monster, like, what he needs, right?
Mm-hmm. He can't.
Whether that's attention or affection.
Yeah, I was just going to say, too, this was a nice perspective for me, because I have not read Frankenstein. And going into this, I was like, we're doing Queer for Fear, like, it's narrated by some drag queens, like, this is going to be really male-specific, like, it's going to talk about, you know, gay men's culture, and maybe we'll get some lesbian stuff, but this was, like, very, very lesbianness. The last episode in this documentary is, like, just totally about lesbians, and I ate that shit up. But yeah, since I've never read the book and I didn't really know that much about Mary Shelley, it was also some nice perspective for me, because what I had been told about her was, like, yes, she was, like, goth and stuff like that, and she invented sci-fi, but the incarnation of Frankenstein was, like, oh, she was, like, a scared little girl, like, terrified of the idea of, like, a man creating life, and, like, really took the agency and power away from her and her own vision, like, the way that I had heard it, and that didn't really make me interested in reading it. So it was really nice to hear this, like, different perspective on that, and just also learn more about her and how cool she was. Yeah, get a better perspective on it all.
I completely agree. And I wrote down specifically, so they like, intersperse these talking head moments with clips from, like, old movies or that sort of thing. Sometimes it's, like, propaganda, old propaganda. And this movie called Gothic, 1986, and it's from 1986. It just looked like the messiest, like, portrayal of, so, you know, it's Mary Shelley and Lord Byron, and then it's, like, they have all their, like, quote-unquote friends, you know, and I'm like, this looks so messy and dramatic. So there were, I mean, I'm sure you guys too got like a ton of movies that you wrote down to like add to your to watch list.
Yes.
And that was, I was like, ooh, this looks so juicy. So the first one is Gothic that I have written down.
I don't even remember seeing that one, quite honestly. There's so, if you haven't seen this documentary series, just go watch it. You will come away with films or books that you want to dive into.
Because it's not like they talked about that movie. It was just like they showed like one clip and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Even if you have a lot of experience with horror films, there's going to be something in here that you haven't heard of, I'm pretty sure. So.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Man, and they were just showing the gayest clips from these movies.
I know. Ooh, it was so nice.
Yeah, because we watched The Hunger for our vampire episode of the podcast.
You watched it. I did.
2 years. Oh, okay. Yeah, you missed out. But yeah, that movie's great. But it was funny to see, like, they took all the gayest scenes from that. And, like, it made me be like, oh, man, I wish I was watching, like, this version of the movie. Not to say that movie isn't really, really gay and also very good. But it's not, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I do.
So I know they have a big segment on Dracula. They have a big segment on The Picture of Dorian Gray. Love them. Definitely look into their queer history. But let's move on to talk about Rebecca. Okay. When I was in high school, my incredibly religious English teacher took it upon herself to give everybody a book recommendation that she thought that they would personally like, had everybody read it and then do a really short like project on it. And the book that she assigned to me was Rebecca.
Oh my god.
Really?
Wait, yes.
What year was this? How old were you?
I was in the 10th grade.
Okay.
She technically let me choose between Rebecca and A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. I did read both of them. I think I ended up doing my project on A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, quite honestly. But I do vividly remember reading Rebecca. And I don't remember interpreting Rebecca as a queer story at the time that I read it. Seeing all the stuff in Queer for Fear about the film adaptation has me very curious. And also, it makes me really want to go back and reread things that I would have missed when I was very deeply in denial about my sexuality when I was 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had a similar experience, but I read Rebecca for the first time maybe like 4 years ago. I really enjoyed the book, right? I love like a weird gothic mystery. But I feel the same. I was like, I don't really remember the book being very queer or sapphic. But then, you know, Rebecca, the film is like one of these movies where I didn't know how early we were going to talk about the Hays Code, but I think Rebecca is one of those movies where it's like they couldn't have the happy end. I mean, obviously it's based on a novel, so it's not going to. But it has this kind of like tragically lesbian character. I cannot remember her name for the life of me right now. Mrs.
Danvers?
That's it. I was like, because they have the line about Mrs. Danvers being a service stop in the documentary, which...
Yes, well, they make all of the interviewed people choose whether she would be a service top or a service bottom.
Yes.
But yeah, she is the maid in the story of Rebecca. So Rebecca's about a woman who, a very, very young woman, I believe she's 18 or 19, who marries a much older rich man who's very elusive, and she never gets to know too much about him, but his wife died mysteriously, and she's trying to figure out what's going on. And yes, the maid is Mrs. Danvers. In the movie, it's very obvious that she was in love with the former wife who was tragically murdered.
I think it's significant that that version of Rebecca, so it's from the 40s, 1940, is directed by Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes.
And less on the like sapphic side, but the stuff that they talk about for Psycho and Psycho 2 and Psycho 3, involving like the main actor and just the story of Norman Bates like being closeted and gay, I'm like, what is going on with Alfred Hitchcock?
Alfred Hitchcock,
he hates definitely women, queer. But also he, do you think so?
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah,
I guess maybe. I've never. That's kind of the thing where I was like, oh, I really need to go back and watch a bunch of Hitchcock stuff. From a lot of people,
it appears that a lot of people do think that Alfred Hitchcock was deeply repressed
Okay, that makes sense. I always just thought he had a lot of queer friends and kind of just, like, built on that.
That's possible. So Daphne du Maurier, who wrote Rebecca and who also wrote the script for The Birds by Hitchcock as well. They talked about that a little bit in the documentary series about how she wrote the screenplay for that. Was, I believe, somewhat close friends or at least colleagues with Hitchcock, obviously, to work together on two movies. Daphne du Maurier also is widely interpreted today as being most likely a transgender man who wasn't able to come out.
Because
Daphne du Maurier talked extensively about feeling like, and people still today use she, her pronouns, that's what Daphne du Maurier used her whole life, talked very frequently about feeling like she was born in the wrong body, about feeling like she wished that she had been born a boy, about feeling more comfortable wearing boys' clothing, and about being interested in women as a straight man would be. So
I gotta reread Rebecca.
You gotta reread Rebecca.
I definitely was in my gay era reading Rebecca, but I just didn't think I was
in my
gay
era.
Yeah, I'm in my gay era. I have been for a while.
I love this. I know that we are just kind of sticking to the sapphic aspects of this documentary, but one really interesting thing for me watching this, like to wrap it in with the Hitchcock stuff, is talking about Psycho and how Anthony Perkins was actually a gay man. And I fucking didn't know that until this movie, which kind of blew my mind a little bit because, you know, as a lesbian watching Psycho, I can kind of only see it through the lens of, like, this is about, like, hating women. Mm-hmm. And also the, like, and a little bit of, like, trans panic, like, thrown in there as well. It was interesting to get the perspective of, like, Anthony Perkins is actually a gay man and was able to portray this role in a way that showed his true self to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And his son is talking about this in the movie, or in the documentary, I mean, and that it kind of ruined his career in a little ways because it was like the truest he was able to present himself, and it changed the way that people saw him because of that.
Mm-hmm. Because he had been, and it's kind of implied, you know, like that he was acting obviously as himself, as a gay man. Yeah. And that he had been putting on a very straight persona in all of his other movies prior to that. And also the implications of playing the killer in the movie Psycho, being authentically yourself as a gay man, and what that does for, I guess, like, also straight audiences' interpretation of gay people and assumptions about them, because Psycho was such a big hit.
Yeah, especially, like, you mentioned, like, the trans panic, like, that really stuck in people's minds. And I think they do talk about that a little in the documentary. Sometimes I'm like, I can't tell if this is like other, if I'm thinking of other media I've consumed, but you know, they talk about how, like, yeah, Psycho was just so huge, and that really, it's not just that, oh, he might be gay. It's like, he might be gay, and also he's a murderer and he's dressing up in women's clothes. So that's like what you're gonna associate with if you're a middle American person who has never met a gay person or a trans person or anything. Mm-hmm. They talk about how, like, it wasn't really the best thing.
Even though in the movie specifically, Psycho and then also Silence of the Lambs, both of those have a killer who, like, dresses up like a woman to a certain extent. And both of those movies do make a point of saying they are not, and the term at the time was transsexual, and they make a point of saying this character is not transsexual. They just have, like, blah, blah, blah going on. But nobody remembers that in the movie. They're, you know, if you're just, like, the layman in America, you're like, that person's trans, and that means all trans people are, like, killers or whatever. So, like, even though that wasn't the intention, that's, like, what people take away from it.
Yeah. And speaking on that, when they're kind of, like, interspersing these little clips of old, like, TV propagandas kind of, like, you know, saying that, like, gay people are evil, whatever, was definitely pretty disturbing watching it now in, like, the current climate. I was like, oh, people are making the exact same arguments today. And even like, so I watched this documentary when it was being released last year, and even then it was not as just widely spread as it is. So it's kind of like a different perspective.
To a degree, I'm like, I don't even care what straight audiences take away, though.
Fair.
Because this was his opportunity to fucking be himself. And yes, horror was the avenue for queer people to be ourselves on screen in an era during the Hays Code where queer people had to be the villain. If you were going to be depicted at all in film, you were going to be the villain, or you were going to have a tragic, horrible death. And it's more satisfying, in my opinion, to see a queer person being the villain in a piece of media than tragically dying in a horrific incident, or having to go to conversion therapy, or whatever other horrible outcome you can imagine.
You're like, guess what? I'm married to a man now. Everything's fine. No, I agree. I love, like, you know, part of the reason why I love horror, that's just one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get to be kind of evil, right?
Right.
And you don't need to have this sanitized version of yourself that people kind of demand. Yeah, I like it. I really want to rewatch Psycho, and I've never seen Psycho 2 or Psycho 3. And I was like, these look insane.
Right? Yeah, it was just, it was so nice because I had viewed this movie kind of, you know, as a beautiful work of cinema and a fantastic movie and, you know, pioneered so many different techniques that are still used today. But as like, damn, this is about misogyny. And it is really interesting to like be able to like look at it in the perspective of like, this is a gay man. I don't know, just interesting. I like it. Different, multifaceted.
Yes.
Yes.
I loved that in this documentary too, we're talking about how queer people, you know, will see themselves in the monster and how there's something kind of beautiful in that.
And on the same note, like we're talking about, just like specifically talking a lot about the sapphic movies I talk about, but of course there's like classic movies and concepts like the Wolfman, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, that is traditionally shown in, you know, through the lens of a man, but I think is so, whether you identify as a woman or you're queer, it's like, you can see yourself in these, these monsters.
So let's talk about then, that's a great transition for us to talk about the concept of the transformation horror film, someone who has to live a dual life with an uncontrollable, unrelenting hunger and urge inside of them. Sound familiar?
Yeah, when you're a cat and you're also a person and you're a cat person.
And you're a cat person, yeah. Let's talk about cat people. I really want to watch Cat People. Women,
me too.
Being undergoing Freudian psychoanalysis to cure her turning into a panther every time she gets horny.
Yeah.
For women.
Yeah, this, and I've seen Cat People. That was really? One that I...
The old version?
Yeah.
There's a new version?
There's Cat People 2.
It's a franchise. There was like one made in the 90s.
I've never heard of this. Yeah. You guys, this is brand new.
It was in the documentary just for a second. You really have to, there's like, everything is happening a lot and they're showing a lot of clips on screen all the time and not necessarily talking about that movie. So it's really, it's one of the ones that like, if you look away for a second, you might miss something.
Yeah, they were like talking about it, you know, in episode 2 and then also like episode 4.
Yeah, I watched Cat People. It's the subtext is there. It's, and that's another one where they show the clips from it and it makes it look really gay. It's a lot more subtle if you watch the movie, but, you know, absolutely there.
Yes, I believe it.
I loved that they show the one scene in that movie where she does literally get clocked. The main character is sitting with her fiance and this woman comes in who is also one of the cat people and says like, I know you, and our main character is like, no you don't, go away.
Yeah, she's like my sister.
It reminded me of being in the Sojo spa.
My sea store.
What were you doing at the Sojo spa, Erin?
Being a lesbian.
That was like coming away from this, also a movie that I really want to watch, and then also all the sequels and the remakes. And
yes,
you know, a movie doesn't have to be good.
A movie doesn't have to be good. You know what I've never seen, but I'm desperate to watch, and I keep trying to get you to watch it with me. Actually,
is
Ginger Snaps. Come on. Oh. I want to see Ginger Snaps. I've never seen it.
Dude, this made me really want to watch this.
Ginger Snaps, I love, but... Okay, we're talking about the concept of transformation, so it makes sense. I was like, Ginger Snaps is not really a gay movie, although I think it should be.
Transformation is a gay
movie.
It's
about the transformation. About being yourself. About being horny.
About, loving being horny and being a teenage girl.
Yes, I'll definitely watch Ginger Snaps.
I do love that.
There was at least one gay scene in a clip that they showed, but now I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they're sisters. Girls. So they're kind of like...
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wait, I'm like... Let me make sure I'm not gaslighting myself. Okay, continue.
Yeah, I do love this because you, again, like going back to cat people, you can totally watch that under a like straight perspective and a straight lens and be like, this woman is being really sexual and horny because she is a literal panther and being... a panther is masculine, and therefore it's about idea behind it is like, oh, she's being masculine and therefore a man, and therefore she can be sexual. Or you could just be like, oh, that's a lesbian. And I really like that they explored all of the werewolf stuff in this and got to talk about how like women aren't necessarily allowed to be sexual and you gotta let the beast out.
Oh.
Yeah, the what howling was another.
The howling. Was that the howling? Yeah, yes.
Where like, all the werewolves are like living in a polyamorous colony and having like crazy wild sex, and then in the Howling 2, it's like confirmed that they transform just to have sex. Like they transform into werewolves just to fuck.
You know, it's like naked women, but they're just covered in this hair. And
yeah.
Even though it's definitely like a weird sexploitation movie, I'm like, good for them.
Yeah,
good for them.
Good for them. Going back to the like gay male perspective too, I had never considered the Creature from the Black Lagoon. I haven't seen it.
Sad and alone.
I loved the idea that they were talking about quote unquote beefcake movies.
Yeah,
where there are movies that are just filled with like buff shirtless men walking around in like swimsuits, and the Creature from the Black Lagoon. That's it, man.
It's the original boxer briefs horror.
It is. Oh my god, David Dakota is shaking in his briefs.
Oh my gosh. I love that whole segment on like, oh yeah, all these like actors from these movies are started from like this softcore, quote unquote, like gymnasium.
The final one from the transformation movies that really stood out to me was Invasion of the Body Snatchers, because that's a movie that's very commonly interpreted as being like a commentary on McCarthyism, right? On finding communists. There's also double meaning where the movie can very easily be read about being a closeted gay person, because no matter what, the idea is that being outed could end your life.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's been, I think, at least 3 Invasion of the Body Snatcher movies. I have only ever seen the one from the 70s. I think it's from the 70s. But once again, like how you're saying, like, because there are these very clear archetypes, you're kind of like just going along with it. But then watching this and seeing like, oh yeah, that makes total sense that you have to truly hide yourself and, you know, walk under the line of being noticed. Or you will get killed or outed. But at the same time, I think McCarthyism can very easily be, you know, it's the same as time period as the Lavender Scare, just about. So I think there's really no separating those two things. But I really wanted to rewatch that movie, too, after watching this doc again. The one from the 70s is, like, a good movie, too. So I would just recommend that one regardless.
Let's talk more about lesbians. I'm ready for more lesbians.
Oh, yeah.
The 4th episode of Queer for Fear is all about sapphic depictions and most commonly lesbian depictions in horror films, and opens with a call to both Carmilla and Elizabeth Bathory and the trope of the lesbian vampire, which we did a whole episode about. Go check the Gaze Gaze archives to find the lesbian vampire conversation. That is like one of my favorite episodes, Erin, I think. I had so much fun doing that. Oh, yeah.
There's so much just interesting content to analyze, too.
Yeah. I was excited when they talked about Dracula's daughter.
Yeah.
Yes. That. I love it. I also was going to say, like, Elizabeth Bathory, never considered that she might just be gay and then men wanted to kill her. And I'm like, that's so obvious. Yeah. Seems so obvious now.
Maybe she didn't do anything at all. And it was like, there's a possibility that it was just a property, an attempt to like steal her property in her mansion because she was a woman who had a mansion.
And she like was her own.
She like, and she was, she was lesbian in her mansion.
She was just being a lesbian. I think, I think it's commonly accepted that it's not true that she killed 500 women and bathed in their blood.
Not that many, at least.
No, we talk about it in the episode, and now, unfortunately, as soon as I talk about something on the podcast, it leaves my brain forever, I guess. But she did not bathe in people's blood. I do remember that was something of it.
OG lesbian vampire, though. And then Carmilla.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the story. I thought it was so interesting, too, to talk about. So the earliest lesbian horror movies are those vampire movies for the most part. There's Dracula's Daughter, Daughters of Darkness in the 70s. Oh, my God. That's also one of my favorite lesbian horror movies. Hoops, have you seen that one?
Wait. No, I have, but I have it written down to watch it because that was like.
Yeah.
You need to watch that movie. That movie's so good.
Like wild. And then, wait, have you guys seen Shiver of the Vampires?
No.
No.
They talked about that right before Daughters of Darkness, and I was, like, blown away by the, there was a girl who comes out, and she hugs another woman, but she has, like, a cone bra on, and it, like, cuts the woman's boobs. I was, like, I had to, like, go back and rewatch that clip, because I, movies are crazy.
Yeah.
Movies are crazy. The one that got me was the clip from Lair of the White Worm, where this vampire comes out with her giant pointy dildo. I don't even know.
I'm pretty sure it was Leah DeLaria talking about it, right? Yes. Who was like the quivering virgin on the altar with the like dildo that's the size of like a 2-liter Coke bottle. Like
Yes. Lair of the White Worm is one of those movies that's like always on people's like classic horror lists. And so I think when the first I had like it's on mine, right? So I just add a lot from random recommendations. Mm-hmm. But then when I first watched this documentary, I was like, oh, I need to watch this movie. Oh,
gotta watch Lair of the White Worm. But anyway, what I was going to say is that we started out with a lot of like cerebral, like early vampire movies in like the 30s, 40s. And then it was like kind of the lesbian ghost moment. We had Rebecca. We had The Uninvited, which is about the lesbian ghost that's haunting the mansion. And then in the 70s, like, the whole sexploitation sleaze film era started, and that really was when lesbians in horror movies became, like, a spectacle for straight men, these very erotic, weird horror,
semi-pornography. And then also, like, it's not exact, but it corresponds to, like, in the middle of the 70s, you get the introduction of home video.
Yeah.
And that's when a lot, you know, it really, like, takes off. So I'm, like, a fan of, like, you know, giallo-type movies, right? And so I've seen a lot of these movies just with the expectation that they're kind of, like, insane and bad, but also worth watching. But it's funny to, like, have all these clips cut together of just, like, women in strange costumes and kissing other women who are naked and
like, I don't remember what movie it was, but there was one clip they showed of just like five women silently and like with very straight faces belly dancing.
I think that was Shiver of the Vampires. I was
thinking about that too.
Because it just had
like, oh yeah.
And there was like one man in the background. I think that's Shiver of the Vampires because I was hypnotized.
Same.
Every time they were talking about that. I don't really want to pass up the talking about The Uninvited either.
Yeah, let's go back.
Not to go back to the ghosts. Because I thought, like, they were just talking a lot about, like, the concept of, you know, what does it mean to be invisible? And this is kind of tacking on, I think, to when they were talking about, like, the Invisible Man and other ghosts. Mm-hmm. In The Uninvited, it's, like, two lesbian ghosts and they're fighting for the attention of, like, the new woman who moved into the house. Have you guys seen this movie ever?
No, I was so interested in it.
Yes, I really want to watch that one. And then also, they briefly talk about The Haunting, the old version, about how, like, Nell is a lesbian, and of course she dies before maybe realizing that. But I was thinking about if you guys have watched the Netflix version, Haunting of Hill House. I think, Waifu, you have, right?
No, we talked about it, but I haven't watched it.
Okay, I haven't seen it either.
it's based off of, right, that same story by Shirley Jackson. And just in that series, the character Nell, this is kind of a spoiler, but she's essentially being haunted by a version of her own self, kind of from the future. I don't know. I was just thinking about how interesting that is as a being related to either being like repressed or closeted, but you're still like haunted by the specter. That's what I was like, I wish they had more movie examples of stuff like this because I want to watch them all. Haunting of Hill House is great for the lesbians.
I've heard it's really good. I think
me too.
Potentially from you.
Oh, for sure.
But that's a trusted source right there. And yeah, The Haunting was one of the ones that I put on my list from stuff from this movie. I was like, this seems so cool. I want to watch it.
I want to watch the Owen Wilson Haunting.
Yes. Love it.
Oh, no.
Where Catherine Zeta-Jones plays Theo. Yes. Same.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
I was obsessed with that movie as a young adult. Do we want to talk about the lesbians. Trends into the 90s of the male gaze lesbians?
I would love to talk about the lesbian chic era.
Yeah, before we do, though, I just got to mention Vamp as another one that stuck out to me as something I really want to watch. I think we talked a little bit about Grace Jones in like one of our, like the second episode of the podcast.
It was the Studio Killers episode particularly. Yeah. I remember talking about Grace Jones there.
But apparently they show clips of the scene where Grace Jones is a vampire and has this body painting on her done by Keith Haring and does like a strip burlesque kind of show in front of everybody in the middle of the movie. And I was like, that sounds so incredible. Like, oh my God, a must watch for me.
Yes.
I've always really wanted to watch this movie. But the thing is, I think it just doesn't seem like a good movie otherwise. I'm like, I'll just be Grace Jones dancing. let's add that to the list.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's watch it.
That movie, they described it as just being about like a vampire sex club.
But man, this documentary is so good at making movies look absolutely incredible.
I know. And then they show you like less than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That's okay. Movies are like I said, movies don't have to be good. Sometimes it's just about the experience of watching Grace Jones.
That's true.
5 minutes. Yeah.
The chic lesbian.
That's the high note
of the 90s.
And the low note is, going into like the era of weird thrillers where there's randomly lesbians.
Very interested to talk about this lesbian chic era where in the 90s it was just like lesbians are cool and trendy to use in like your more artistic films. Obviously, we have Bound, an Aaron favorite. Hoops, have you seen Bound yet?
I still haven't.
Oh my God. This is a crime against lesbians everywhere.
You guys, it has to be special. It has to be special time.
We have to watch it together, actually. Person together. And Bound is, I don't say this lightly, I think that Bound is my favorite movie that I've seen.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That movie is astronomically. It is actually like maybe a perfect movie. It's really, really good.
It's so good.
I know. I need to watch.
I won't say any more than that. I genuinely think that it's best if you go in kind of blind to it, honestly. There's some gore. There's some tension. It's more of a thriller than a horror. But what is notable is that Bound came out at the same time as Basic Instinct, which is a horror and which was it was widely protested at the time of its release for being a negative depiction of a bisexual woman.
Yeah. They talk about it in a way where it's like, these are clearly like non-gay women acting in these parts. And then it's clearly written by one, men, or two, people who are clearly not gay or know any gay people. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you can really, here's how I always think of these kinds of movies. Two women making out, one of them is making eye contact with a man somewhere else.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like that's a consistent thing. They showed that from Basic Instinct, which I never saw Basic Instinct because growing up, that people like really talked about that movie in like a hating way. Isn't that the movie where Sharon Stone shows her vagina?
I don't know.
I haven't seen
I really should watch Basic Instinct. I really should.
Yeah.
Should we watch Basic Instinct?
I kind of feel
There's this scene where she like uncrosses her legs in front of Michael Douglas's character and she's like not wearing underwear so you can... So that was, like, the whole thing, right? So I think, like, teenage boys...
Yes, she was tricked into doing that. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She slapped the director, Paul Verhoeven. She said she only agreed to remove her underwear for the scene because she was told her vagina would not be visible in the shot.
And they like fully...
And they fully showed it. Yeah.
Yeah. That reminds me of in Frida. Did you guys hear that stuff about like how it only got made because the woman playing Frida, she made the movie. But basically they were saying, yeah, we will only allow you to have this lesbian romance in it if you like have a naked sex scene.
Oh my God.
I did not know
And it
that.
it was Harvey Weinstein.
Oh my God.
God.
It's Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek.
And she like produced the movie, starred in it, and then she, I think, like was very vocal, you know, later during like Me Too stuff about how like he basically forced them to do that scene and she never wanted to.
That's so anyways, horrible.
Men shouldn't make movies.
Yeah.
90% of the time. Sometimes it's fine. Mm-hmm.
And this actually, I think this was specifically said in the documentary about the 1970s sexploitation lesbian vampire stuff, but the quote is, the characters were supposed to be lesbians, but they weren't written by lesbians, and they weren't directed by lesbians, and they certainly weren't being played by lesbians, but how the people interviewed still found representation within these people. And what I loved about this in the talking about the edgy lesbians of the 90s era is that there were a couple of people, at least in the documentary, saying that, you know, they would see the people protesting Basic Instinct outside of the theaters, but they would either sneak past them because they were so interested in seeing the movie or just like go to a town over in order to see it just out of curiosity or for whatever reason. And I loved the honesty there.
Yes.
Because, like, sometimes you just got to see it. You got to know.
Specifically.
Sometimes, like, Sharon Stone looks sexy, too.
Specifically, it was Guinevere Turner who was talking about that in the documentary, who is the director of Go Fish and also the lead actress. She also is the writer of American Psycho. And talking about her experience trying to go see Basic Instinct.
Wow, and
Basic Instinct. And there is funny.
There is that scene in, this is obviously not what Go Fish was referencing, but it does make me think about the scene in Go Fish where they go see the movie and one character is like, that was horrible. And the other character is like, no, I really liked it.
And then they talk about like, isn't it such that like a queer person can only write about their own perspective? And this movie was made by a queer person who has that perspective, so that doesn't make it a bad queer movie. It makes it an accurate queer movie for that queer person. Like, wow, novel idea. Very funny. Whoa. That it's Guinevere Turner, who was talking about sneaking past her friends protesting to go see Basic Instinct. And also very funny that she went to go see Basic Instinct when she went on to write American Psycho, which is another movie that was similarly like protested for being misogynist.
So this is, I didn't know that she wrote American Psycho. I never ever would have guessed that a woman wrote American Psycho.
Yeah, that a lesbian wrote American Psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she did cut a lot of like the worst torturing women scenes from the book, so I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
At least.
Man, you should also watch Go Fish. That's another like one of my top movies that we've watched on the podcast.
Yes.
That one's good.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have these movies that you do and you tell me you like them. They go on the list, but like I said,
it's saving it for a special.
It's got to be special. Yeah. I have to be emotionally present.
That's fair. That's fair.
And I just watch a lot of bad movies instead.
Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff on the list to work through.
Yes, exactly.
Now, have either of you guys seen Single White Female? Because I have not.
No, but this also was another one that really intrigued me.
I have not seen it, but I saw, is it called Wicker Park? They made like a remake reboot in the 90s starring like Josh Hartnett, and I saw that version. But that one did not have gay vibes. But this, seeing some of the scenes from Single White Female, I was like, oh, I need to watch this immediately.
Yeah. Roommate tries taking over her roommate's identity and slowly tries becoming her. Because she's obsessed with her. Very gay energy. Yeah. And the way they talked about it, too, was so interesting, where it was like, you hate to see it because it's kind of true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my god. I, well, just the, like, the lesbian experience of, do I want to be this person or do I want to fuck this person?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And also from our intro, even the, like, we don't look alike. We just look in love. Like, if you have your lesbian partner, you're going to wear their clothes. You know, you're going to use the same products. You're going to, you just, like, you coexist. But also you just kind of, I guess it's a little bit deeper than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's like, we're talking repression and we're talking about horror movies and thrillers, it's definitely going into that you want something so bad, you kind of, it kind of goes the opposite direction, and then you're like, mm-hmm. Well, I have to possess you and then kill you and then become you. Sorry, yeah. I have to do it.
had to do it to him. Mulholland Drive.
Yes, I was excited.
Just
I forgotten
recently
that this
watched
was on the
this
list.
Movie
did you you liked it, right?
Yeah, I liked
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't say it was like a fave, but I definitely thoroughly enjoyed Mulholland Drive.
That's a movie that I would recommend watching more than once, too.
Yeah, After I watched it, I watched a 2-hour YouTube video dissecting it.
Like, explaining it, yes.
And that made me like it a lot more.
First time I watched it, I was like, what is this?
What is happening?
On?
But it's very lesbian the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's, yes. At first it's like, is this going to be lesbian? Because I really didn't know going in. And mm-hmm. then as I kept watching, I was like, wait, this is like lesbian. And then they like, it gets really, really lesbian at the end.
It's true.
They are doing mad lesbian stuff in Mulholland Drive. David, interesting one for David Lynch. He's very unpredictable to me. And
oh, yeah.
Mulholland Drive is similarly very unpredictable.
I think, have you watched really any of his other movies?
I've seen Eraserhead, and I've seen, okay. I've seen the original Twin Peaks. I haven't seen the reboot, and I also haven't seen Fire Walk With Me.
Okay. He's just a weird guy. I mean, I like it. It's not always like a hit for me, but always worth watching.
Worth checking out, I would say.
Mulholland Drive, definitely. Definitely
a
recommendation.
Yeah, I gotta get in on this.
Recommendation?
Yeah,
yes.
It's very eerie in an unsettling way. It's like, what is... Because a lot of it is just that you really don't know what's real and what's fake, which is a mm-hmm. very common theme in all of Lynch's work, I would say. What is real and
yes.
what's fake.
It just, like, filmed in this almost, like, Twilight State. I don't know, like, ephemeral, maybe is what I mean.
Yes.
It's all just, like, yeah, like you said, eerie. It's very... Yeah, you're just like, what the hell is going on? Am I hallucinating mm-hmm. watching this movie?
Yeah, that's the feeling. Especially when you get to like that scene where they go to the theater and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my god, it's like, what is even happening here?
But it's just like hypnotizing.
It is, yeah. Very hypnotizing and very, very eerie and unsettling as well.
Yes. Definitely a reason it's on the horror movie list.
Yes. And the final one, which is a watch list for me, but the final movie that I wanted to talk about that they recommended was Heavenly Creatures.
Yes.
Yeah.
This has been on my list forever, too, because I'm obsessed with Melanie Lynskey, who's recently in, like, Yellow Jackets, and she was in But I'm a Cheerleader.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Yes. And this is also
so
one of those movies.
Here.
Yeah. I think she was a teenager.
She's married to Jimmy Simpson? She's married to, McPoyle.
Yes.
What's his actual name? Liam McPoyle in Sunny. That's so funny. He was also in Debs, which you still haven't seen.
Right, he's in Debs?
Oh, my
God. Oh, yeah, he plays the gay best friend in Debs. He's not gay.
Of course he does.
But he plays, like, the lesbian's evil, like, henchman, basically. Like, the evil lesbian.
I need to watch Debs.
Yeah, you really need to watch Debs.
Oh,
yeah,
you gotta watch Debs.
Debs is so good, too. Not a horror movie, but just a good movie. I did not know that Melanie Lynskey was married to him. That's so funny.
Yeah, they seem very in love. Yeah, this movie has just been on my list forever. I feel like people don't talk about this movie. Is that just
They don't.
No, yeah.
Heavenly Creatures is based on a true story of two teenage girls who fell in love and murdered one of the girls' mother because she wouldn't let them be together. And that happened in New Zealand in the 50s. And it looks very ethereal. Like, there's, like, some very strange dream sequences in this movie.
Yeah, it's a lot about, like, they kind of go into these, like, pretend worlds where it's like, oh, I'm a princess and I have to rescue you. So there's a lot of definitely like escapism from their daily lives where they are living with parents that say they can't be together.
Okay, absolute tangent. Jude and I, we're going to a Halloween party soon as well, and we were talking about who we want to be because everybody is being like movie villains. And we decided that we're going to be Chucky and Tiffany, which I'm very excited about.
Nice. I was just going to say, wow. Be the girlies from Bound. Corky and...
Oh my god, wait. That's when they're all bloody and
Violet.
Wait. I'll propose that to Jude as well as an option. But we decided to watch... Neither of us had seen Bride of Chucky. We both seen Child's Play, so we decided to watch Bride of Chucky last night. Love yeah. that. Such yes. a good movie. Jennifer Chucky. Tilly, sexy as always.
Love her. Chucky Love is a franchise that kind of gets better the more off the rails it goes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And if you haven't watched
what
the
what I didn't know and what
show,
I learned watching this documentary, too, yeah. is that the writer and creator of Chucky is a gay man. And yes. it's always been based on his experience. And the kid from Child's Play is, like, intended to be, like, a gay child as well. And
oh, I didn't
there's so much queer
that.
Influence. Like, there's a gay best friend in The Bride of Chucky as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are queer characters. Yeah, in the later television show, they had that whole scene. Apparently, the television show is not good. I haven't watched it.
I just
that whole scene
it's fun.
Where he's like, so like the show is about Chucky being found by a gay child, right?
Who's like and... bullied, yeah, and then Chucky like kind of becomes an avenger, not in a
yes,
not in a positive way because he's still Chucky. But he's like, I want to kill people, so I might as well kill like your abusive dad or whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
Well
yeah.
And his kids are.
I was just gonna say, but it has that iconic line where he's
non-binary.
No, he has that iconic line where he's telling the little boy, "I got a kid, gender fluid."
That's it. Gender
oh, that's
fluid.
It. Yeah,
gender fluid. It's so
gender
funny.
Gender fluid. Oh my god! Amazing.
Chucky is an ally.
Yeah, but he's also horrible. He's so bad in Bride of Chucky. Tiffany yeah. is a saving grace in that movie. Yeah, really would recommend that one as well as a gay horror movie, believe it or not.
Are you going to do regular Chucky and Tiffany, or are you going to do Bushojo?
Yeah, I was going to say you should
Bushojo,
do Chucky and Tiffany. The little
yeah,
girl,
girly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, oh my god, you have to, please.
Oh my god, your hair is orange right now, right?
Yeah, my hair is orange
it's
right
perfect.
Now.
It's perfect.
Anyway, that's a big
but
tangent.
But yeah, going off of that tangent and finding out that a queer person created Chucky, I loved that this documentary brought to light all of the queer people that have been involved, maybe from like the closet or from the shadows in all of this mm-hmm. media mm-hmm. and how much we cannot be erased. And especially with like some of the old monster movies, how the writers and screenwriters and actors of those films were well-known closeted people or were people who, like, were later found out to be gay, like, mm-hmm. and it was just so interesting, and I love the queer history.
Yeah.
I know.
The only problem with this documentary is that I wish it was longer.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, for real.
And I think it's a good place for us to end our conversation, too, by just saying and echoing what you just said, in that queer people will not be erased, right? And queer
yes.
people will have a voice and will continue making media in whatever form it has to fucking take to make sure that we are seen, heard, and found by our own people.
Yes, mm-hmm. And if you ever think that you're the only one seeing yourself in the monster, you're not. Everyone has those feelings. Come to your community. Be a monster with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And with Lady Gaga. She's there, too.
Oh, my God. Monster.
Lady Gaga's there, too, huh? Okay. Well, do we want to close out with some movie recommendations that we haven't talked about yet?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any?
Queer horror?
Yeah.
So if you are a weenie, you want something spooky but not too spooky, I'm going to say that the movie mm-hmm. May... We've reviewed it on the podcast before. That one, you gotta watch it. It's like a dark comedy. It's great. It's also, I would say, a good party movie if you just kind of want something on in the background that people can, like, look at every now and again and be like, what is happening? And then Bodies, Bodies, Bodies that came out last year. That's more of a suspenseful thriller movie. And I wanted to see it, but I was like, I don't know if I can handle it because I am a weenie, but it was fine and it was great and I loved watching it. It was really funny too.
Yeah, that one's a solid recommendation. And I think not a horror movie, but I saw Bottoms recently, and I really think everyone should watch that.
I wanna see that.
I have not seen this movie in years. Mm-hmm. Check out The Moth Diaries.
I was thinking about that when we were talking about Carmilla.
Yeah, very Carmilla adjacent, girls in Catholic boarding school, may or may not be vampires. Very, very interesting movie.
The movie that we're going to be doing, All Cheerleaders Die, very fun. There's two versions of it. Written by a gay man, but the leads are gay, lesbians. Otherwise, Black Sunday, which is like classic giallo horror movie, has a lesbian... It's three short movies in one, but one of them is about lesbians and one of my favorite pieces of horror media. And I had one other one. I don't remember.
I'll give you a second to think on it while I give... First, a non-lesbian horror movie recommendation, just because I think more people should see it. Have any of you listeners out there ever heard of the movie Egg by Yukihiko Tsutsumi?
I also saw this on my list.
2005.
Egg?
Egg. One of the most interesting horror movies I have seen, perhaps ever. Very, very good. Would recommend. Not lesbian, not gay at all. But it's about a woman who, whenever she closes her eyes, she sees an egg. For her whole life. And then one day she closes her eyes and the egg hatches. And you're not going to like what comes out of that egg. Very interesting movie about motherhood, the Russo-Japanese War, being an immigrant, and being the descendant of immigrants in another country. It's very intriguing and very, very weird. I would really recommend.
Yeah, a movie that you recommended and I like have not stopped thinking about it since.
I think about closing my eyes and seeing an egg.
Yeah, and sometimes I close my eyes and I see an
egg. Every day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I close my eyes and I see an egg now. Yeah. Really would recommend that one.
It doesn't hatch.
Uh-oh. You're not going to like
what it
hatches from.
Also, why when I Google egg movie does a 2018 comedy pop up as the first thing?
It's because nobody has seen Egg, the horror movie, and that's why I have to shout it out. Egg. Like, literally on Letterboxd, under 500 people have watched it.
I think it's on YouTube, right? It is.
It's just on YouTube. You can just go watch it on YouTube.
It's like an hour long.
2005, Yukihiko Tsutsumi. Yeah, it's just over an hour long. And my lesbian recommendation, you all know it, is Jennifer's Body. What a good, fun horror movie. Horror, comedy, high school drama, all mixed into one. Megan Fox is there. She's sexy. She's evil. Very, very gay. Very good movie.
And I'll say it.
Love it.
Even though I said it's not truly lesbian, I feel like clearly there's a lot of lesbian reads on this movie, but watch Ginger Snaps. Especially if you, I don't know, have ever been a young woman or are becoming a woman. A lot of relatable feelings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you just want to, I don't know, kill people, rip your skin off, in the same vein as Jennifer's Body, for sure.
I'm going to, like, think about this, and something brilliant is going to come to my mind as soon as I get off this call.
And then I also kind of just wanted to say, if anyone listening has watched this documentary and they kind of liked the style, Shudder has another one called, like, the 101 Scariest Movie Moments of All Time or something that is also a solid watch. There's some overlap with the movies. And I feel like a lot of the talking about Alfred Hitchcock that I'm thinking of came from that movie instead, but would recommend it.
Thank you both. What a fun time I've had.
Me too.
Me too. Thank you, Hoops, for joining us. Thank you so much for listening. If you feel like it, you can follow us on Twitter at GazeGaze. Fortunately, it is the best place to see our updates and what most recent episodes we're doing. And you can also still DM us there, but we might be a little bit slow to reply. You can also email us at erin@gazegaze.com to send us any thoughts, ideas, or recommendations. Many thanks to Kate and Leslie of Neon and Nude for allowing us to use their songs Look and Love and You Pretty Thing for our intro and our outro music. You can and should buy their album at neonandnude.bandcamp.com, but you can also stream it on Spotify. And next week, we're going to be doing something All Cheerleaders Die.
We'll catch you there with Hoops again.
Ooh. Woo. Until then, I'm Erin.
And I'm Erin.
And I'm Hoops.
And we're gay.
We're gay vampires.
Ooh.
We are gay vampires, actually.
I'm a lesbian spirit haunting your mansion.
Ooh. I'm Frankenstein made of three lesbians.
Not yet. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
That's, we're working on that.
That's too
We're
come.
Working on it. We're working on it.
Bye.
All right. Bye.